Thank you very much, honorable members. I don't want you to be surprised that I'm chairing the the committee. The honorable Mudisa is online, but she's on sick leave until the 6th of February. She's not feeling well, and she said I must then be facilitating the meeting, but it must be formalized so that it is not an agreement between myself and her. I just felt I needed to start there so that we don't all of us just sit and wait for her while she's not feeling well. So I would like my chairing to be formalized so that indeed it is formalized. Mambili.
Okay, thank you so much, co-chair. I'm proposing Bedwin Minimative to be the chairperson of the session today. Thank you.
There is the proposal. Can we get somebody who second it?
Chairperson, Ngwenya?
Yeah, Mangwenya.
Thanks, Chair, and good morning, everybody, on our first meeting. Chair, I second Honorable Didi.
It has been seconded. Thank you very much, unless there is any other matter. Thank you very much, Honorable Members, and good morning. Honorable Nana.
Thanks, Chairman. I thought you were going to ask for a second name, and it's only procedural to do so. And I wanted to raise the fact that there is no second name. We second your name. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Nana. It's very difficult when you are chairing and you are doing. You are the one. You are conflicted. You are the one. Thank you very much, Honorable Nana. Thank you very much. There is an agenda in front of us. Firstly, let me take this opportunity to welcome honorable members and just to say compliments of the new season. And before we can even continue, we are meeting at a very difficult moment. And I'll request that we have a moment of silence just to pray for people who are still confronted with this disease, relatives and friends who have passed on. I think all of us, in one way or another, we have been touched by this disease. Some close friends, close family members, ourselves as well affected by this disease. Can I request members to have a moment of silence? Thank you very much, honorable members. We need to, all of us, to be praying for those who are in hospital and hospitalized. The secretary of the other committee, Comrade Honor Lodi, is also one of the people. I received a message from her family that indeed she's affected and she's still hospitalized. Mom Bibi's husband is still in difficult situation, and herself, she's just soldiering on for our community, but she's also affected. You can see a lot of people. We have lost a lot of people in administration as well as honorable members of parliament. We hope the arrival of the vaccine and will indeed assist us to navigate through this difficult period. Thank you very much. I'm hoping honorable members have received the notice of the meeting, which has got an agenda. But as on the agenda, there is no apologies there. I think before we can even move forward, we can just check if there are any apologies, especially from honorable members as well as the department.
Yes, Chairperson. We received three apologies from members. It would be Mr. Nyambi, Ms. Mukause, Ms. Lamskagni, and then also the department sent through the minister's apology. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. You will understand that the minister, yesterday we woke up to the news that the sister to the minister has passed on. And I'm sure they are still working on those Toza Mamantashe. She has passed on yesterday. And we send condolences on behalf of the committee to the minister and the family. Thank you very much, honorable members. We can move to straight to the briefing by the department, because my understanding is that honorable Bibi also indicated that she can't be sitting for quite a long time in a meeting because of the challenges that she's going through. So we request that the department just go straight to key issues. We have received the presentation, even though we received it a bit late, but we have the presentation with us. Can we call on the DG? I saw DG is here. Taro, can you then take us through the report?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Greetings to yourself, and also greetings to the honorable members of the select committee, all the DDGs that are on the call, and also the support staff to the select committee and ministry, all our labor representatives that are in attendance, and the Minerals Council and our media. Greetings to you all. Honorable Chair, from the side of the administration, we have three apologies. The apology of Mr. Mbele, he is struggling with his audio. He is trying to join, but the audio is not good. He's a TDG responsible for programs and projects. We also have Mr. Msiza is having family issues that he's attending to. The Chief Inspector of Mines and DDG Ntokozo Mwabe. She's also assisting. Yes, you know that this week, starting from today, we are having mining in Durban. And so DDG Mwabe is responsible for the coordination of the event, and we're expecting the President to address the event later today. Honorable Chair and honorable members, as we all know that in May in 2019, the President announced the reconfiguration of government departments, which then this resulted in the formation of the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy after the merger of the then TOE and Mineral Resources. Now, most of the time, much of our time during the previous financial year, we dedicated it in managing the merger, the transition, and also development of the startup structure for DMRE, and also to ensure that the process of a national macro organization of government is really, being undertaken without any challenges, because we also had to ensure that there is a full participation of all relevant stakeholders. Now, the department will review the DMRE startup organizational structure to align it with the strategic plan of the department in order to ensure that our organizational structure is fit for purpose, and also we are able to implement the necessary change management interventions accordingly. Coming to the actual presentation, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, the presentation has got Part A and Part B with 96 slides, which, I mean, you know, the performance information has been audited. We also have our annual financial statements as well for the DEN, DOE, and TMRE, which will be presented by the Head of Strategy in the Department, Mr. Malawuzi. The performance information for the DEN, DOE is contained in slide 3 to 21, whereas slides 22 to 37 reflect additional information relating to performance tables and would not be presented. We are mindful of the time as well, and so the colleague will be talking to the issues without just, I mean, you know, presenting the presentation so that we can be able to save time. AFS for DOE are in slide 39 to 47 and will be presented by CFO Ms. Yvonne Chetty. And we also have performance information for the DEN TMR, which is from slide 49 to 86. You know, the emphasis would be in highlighting key areas as we have raised this point, Chair. AFS for former DMRs are in slide 88 to 93 and would also be presented by the CFO. I must also highlight that, Chair, the department, both the two departments, the DEN, actually, DOE and DMR, we have both obtained, you know, a good audit outcome. It's an unqualified audit, but we still have findings. And so we have put all the necessary measures in place to make sure that all the findings that have been made by the AG, we attend to them. And so this will be done through the executive authority of the organization, as you know, that we need to report to the executive authority from time to time. And also ESCO of the department is hard at work in ensuring that those issues are attended to. As you know, that we need to have checks and balances as well. We have our internal audit as well as our audit committee, because we have our regular meetings as per our schedule. And so this would help in making sure that the management comes up with the recommendations and also the improvement of the, you know, the audit outcome coming, you know, to the next financial year. We should be able to have a better audit outcome. Without any waste of time, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, I would like to take this opportunity to invite the Head of Strategy, Mr. Malawuzi, to take Honorable Members through the presentation. Thank you very much, Chair. Over to you, Mr. Malawuzi.
Thank you very much, DG, the Chairperson, and members of the Select Committee. Am I audible, DG, Chair?
You are audible.
Thank you very much. I will be doing the presentation, but before we go there, I will humbly request to the host, because I've tried to do the sharing on the screen, unless it could be done from that side. Otherwise, I should be given the right to do the sharing on the screen. So the host, if the host can
I just gave Mr. Malawuzi the right to share.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm sure you are able to see the screen now.
We are able to see it, Mr. Malawuzi.
Thank you very much. The DG has already indicated about the components of the presentation. That is Part A and Part B, of which Part A is going to be the former DOE, and then Part B is going to be the former DMR. Now, the layout in terms of what we're going to be presenting, DG has already given the introduction, which means number one has been taken care of, Chairperson. And then we'll go to number three, which will be highlights for DOE, number four, strategies to overcome underperformance where there are such areas and service delivery environments. The organizational environment has been actually spoken to by the DG in his opening remarks. Annual financial statement, of course, that one is going to be dealt with and be presented before this committee by the CFO. I will go back to part B when I come to the presentation for DMR. But let me zoom quickly to the branches which constituted the former department of DOE. You can see that we used to have six branches, which comprises of those names: administration, energy and policy, petroleum products and regulation, electrification, which is INEP, nuclear and clean energy. Now, in terms of the performance, Chair and honorable members, for the former DOE, this slide number 7 is showing you the names of the branches of the then DOE. But as you move to the right, you can see the columns that are giving you the annual targets. Out of those targets, which ones were achieved, which ones were partially achieved, which ones were not achieved. But it also gives you a sense, the program in terms of the funding resources that were allocated to that program, as well as the expenditure. Chair, if you agree, in terms of the budget, I'm not going to speak to that because CFO will be talking to that, but suffice it to say that you can see the figures in terms of the allocations per program as well as the expenditure. Now, into the performance itself, the administration had in total a number of 8 targets. We achieved 4, partially achieved 3. We could not achieve 1. As we go down, Chairperson, to the tables, if you had a chance to look at the tables and honorable members, you will see in the performance tables which the DG indicated that there are additional information for each and every program that is going to be presented here. You will see there that performance information table is telling you the reasons for partially achieved and not achieved. It doesn't stop there. It also tells as to how we're going to make interventions to address that going into the future. The next program, which is program number 2, former DOE, they had 8 targets, annual targets. They achieved 2, they partial 3, and they did not achieve 3. Program 3, can you please go up a little bit? I cannot. Okay, there we go. Now something is wrong with my slide here. Let me go back. My apology, Chair. I just want to go back and see what happened here. I'm sure it will be visible. Program 3 was petroleum and petroleum product regulations. They had 3 targets. They achieved all of them. Electrification, which is INEP, had 5 targets. They achieved 4, partial 1. Nuclear had 4 targets. They achieved 1, did not achieve 2. They partial 2 did not achieve 1. Clean energy, they had 5. They achieved 3. They partial 1 and did not achieve 1. Now, in terms of the total number of targets out of the 33 of all the programs combined, out of the all programs, we had 33 targets. Percentage-wise, it's that we were able to perform 52% out of 100%. And that means that the 7% was not achieved. And you can see the expenditure there, the allocation was 7 billion, but the expenditure was 6.9. Now, in terms of the improvement of performance, you can see, Chair and honorable members, there is the year 2018-19 there. In terms of achievement, we did 32%. We achieved 32%. We partialed 44% and could not achieve 24%. But comparatively, when you look into 2019-20, in terms of the achievement, it grew from 82 to 52 in terms of achieved. From 44, there's a little bit of a change there, from 44% of partially achieved to 27%. And then from there is a little bit of a problem that needs to be dealt with, but it also decreased from 24% to 21% of not achieved targets. Now, in terms of the performance highlights for the year under review, is that 98% approved invoices were paid within 30 days as required by law. And then the annual energy balance report for 2017 data was also published. The biofuel regulatory framework was gazetted, and the planned 1,880 fuel samples were collected and tested. 1,300 retail site inspections were conducted. 91%, which is the 733 out of 798 of license applications approved, had a minimum of 50% historically disadvantaged South Africans. Now, in terms of electrification, you can see, Chair and members, that 214,517 newly electrified households were connected. And then we exceeding a target of a third target that we planned of 195,000. Again, from INEP, which is the electrification branch, three new substations were built. That is the first one. Three substations were upgraded. 174,087 kilometers new megawatt volts power lines were constructed. 11 kilometers of existing megavolt power lines were upgraded. Over and above that, we were able to produce two reports on interventions and support to municipalities regarding electricity. We also issued authorizations applications within 8 weeks to achieve a target of 70. These are applications for new dear chair and members. We also managed to have 6.3 terawatt-hour energy savings. This is the energy efficiency demand side management, the program that is responsible for energy efficiency. The annual compliance report on the third environmental management plan was also approved. It's still a this then speaks to the challenges, but the challenges here are also trying to talk about the areas where some of the targets were partially achieved and some were not achieved. So we had 14 SMBs out of 20, and then we also managed to have proposals of the end state of electricity sector, which was delayed due to the production of overarching electricity policy. But now that we have the IRP, I think this matter will be something of the past because the IRP is now in place. We also have an off-take agreement on the Grand Inga project, which was not negotiated. This was due to delays in the appointment of project developer by the ERC. And it's a matter that is also part of the mitigation strategy on areas that the DG has alluded to, which will be on the radar continuously to ensure that it improves. The appointment of a panel of contractors for the non-grid electrification was also delayed. You will see as you go down, this was likely to quite a number of reasons. Some of the reasons, they relate to training. Some of the reasons, they relate to, you know, agreement with municipalities because we have to do that. And some of the reasons could be talking to the structural formations of the houses in which these things should be installed. The draft National Nuclear Regulator Amendment Bill was not submitted to cabinet due to engagement which took longer with stakeholders. The radioactive waste management fund bill could not be submitted to cabinet due to issues that need to be sorted out with regard to engagement or other consultation with stakeholders. The report on the installation of national solar water heaters was produced. However, installations in terms of putting those solar water heaters were not very well due to other problems that relate to this project itself. But as I've indicated earlier, some of those and the information in relation to this is in the tables. Now, in terms of the strategies to overcome the underperformance, you can see that we did receive the unqualified audit report. So although there are other findings, those findings the department has put in place the response action plan that will be monitored on a regular basis to ensure that there is no reoccurrence of that. In terms of the Municipal Asset Management Program rollout framework, that will be intervened by ensuring that we do fill the vacant positions because it was somehow affected by issues that relate to capacity. So the process of doing that is underway, and it will be sorted in the near future. The national nuclear regulator, which was partially achieved, the department will publish the national nuclear regulator amend bill this year. With regard to the radio waste management fund bill, that also will be published this year. The terms of reference for renewable energy technology roadmap, which was not achieved, the project has been planned to be implemented this year now that the RP is in place. In terms of the delivery environment, Chairperson, we are saying that the IRP, which is currently the department's preeminent policy for SA electricity sector, is in place. And that in terms of the installed capacity for electricity generation, we've got the various types which are as follows. You have 38 generation by fuel type is 38 gigawatts from coal. And then you have the 1.8 gigawatts from nuclear, the 2.7 from pumped storage, the 1.7 gigawatts from hydro, 3.8 from diesel, 3.7 from renewable energy. Now, the electricity generated is transmitted through a network of high voltage transmission lines that are connected, that connect the various load centers. And that the ESCOM and municipalities are further distributing electricity to end users, including the Southern African Development Community. ESCOM also supplies a number of international customers, including SADC, with electricity utilities. The IRP as an electricity infrastructure plan is based on reaching a balance between demand and least cost electricity supply, while taking into account electricity energy security and the environment. This is meant to minimize negative emissions and water usage. In total, Chair, 18,000 megawatts of new generation capacity is allocated as follows. IPPs have 1,500 megawatts from two open cycle gas turbine peaking plants. A total of 6,000 megawatts has been procured by the Renewable Energy Independent Power Producers Program, with the 3,876 megawatts made operational and available to the grid. ESCOM has also commissioned 1,332 megawatts from Ingula Pump Storage, of which there's also 1.5 from Midubi, which is coal-driven, 800 megawatts from Kusile, which is also coal-driven. As we continue with the safe delivery environment, we are saying, Chair, the current electricity shortages will ease as Eskom finishes their critical maintenance program or project. And that bid window 4 of the renewable energy program has been accelerated, while the rapid decline in the renewable energy process will give new impetus to the remaining bid window 5. SA continues to pursue a diversified energy mixture, as we all know, that will reduce reliance on single or a few primary energy sources. Generation capacity is designed to restore the necessary reserve margin and to be ahead of the economic growth curve at the least possible cost. The extent of decommissioning of the existing coal fleet, Chair, due to end of design life, could provide space for a completely different energy mix relative to the current mix. In the period prior to 2030, the IRP provides for incremental capacity to complement the existing fixed capacity. The restructuring of the electricity sector as a whole is also underway with a 230 billion allocation over 10 years. South Africa and Sudan have signed an oil exploration and production sharing agreement, which is strategic for SA as an energy consumer. South Sudan currently produces 160,000 barrels of oil a day. The agreement concerns Block B2, which will be operated by South Africa's state-owned Strategic Fuel Finds, that is our NGT, as well as and that the Ministry of Petroleum and NILPET, the National Oil Company, and the Republic of South Africa. These are the partners that will be looking into this aspect. Under this agreement, which includes a 6-year exploration period, SSF, alongside NILPET, will launch a comprehensive hydrography survey exploration campaign, but also seismic acquisition and drill wells with great prosperity. The SSF will also invest in capacity building initiatives. That will include training of SA, of South Sudanese citizens, but also social and community development projects and ensuring local content and empowerment of women. Concerning the recent oil and gas discovery off our shores, the Honorable President noted in last year's State of the Nation speech that this could well be a game changer for our country and will have significant consequences for our country's energy security and the development of this industry. We congratulate Total and its various partners and wish them well in their endeavors. Government will continue to develop legislation for the sector so that it is properly regulated for the interest of all concerned. In light of the need to transition to cleaner energy, SADC energy ministers approved in 2018 the development of the SADC regional gas master plan, covering evaluation of the available gas resources and existing markets. Gas utilization strategy is also there, supply and demand analysis, infrastructure development plans, identification linkages of value chains, as well as institutional and regulatory and fiscal frameworks. Chairperson, this slide I'm going to skip. It speaks of the organizational environment which was hinted by the DG. In terms of the organizational environment, this is more of support which speaks to It speaks about the bursaries, training, and so on, but it also speaks about the professional services that has been done through supply chain and so on, as well as how we were doing our collaborations with our organized labor. Now, Chair, the following slides that I'm showing here, I will show them one by one, but skip them and not talk to them. Chair, perhaps maybe let me talk to the slide number 20. Slide number 20 there is talking about the organizational environment. In the former DOE there, you can see that the training and development continued for the year under review, where we had 21 bursaries issued to employees. 36 learnerships were also conducted by the department, 22 internships. 22 internships, as well as 225 skills programs being implemented. Training programs were also implemented in line with the workplace skills program, and a set target of 60 was achieved, which exceeded the target of 64. Although there was no employee health and wellness service provider for the year, the health and wellness activities were hosted during the year, including events and wellness clinics. The process of procuring the employment health and wellness services was stopped because of the impending merger between the DOE and the DMR to DMRE. Professional services were procured through the supply chain management process which were required by the officials and their family members. Two duly authorized employee unions do exist within the department. We've got NEHAU as well as PSA. These are the organized labor that are representing the department. I'll pass the slide. Now, here is the slide that I indicated that we are not going to be presenting because of time, but if I can just give a sense in terms of only this one, Chairperson, to say, as you can see there, we have columns that indicate the performance indicator, which is what we plan to deliver. The second column, it shows you about the plan target from the APP. This is talking to administration. And then the second column is talking about the actual achievement, which says partially achieved. Now, when you go to the next column, you can see, Chair and members, that there is a column that is asking us as to what were the reasons for deviations. And then those reasons are provided there. And then you also have to say, what is it that you will do about the non-achievement, which constitutes a deviation? So as DG has indicated, I'm going to move and pass these slides, skip them, up to the slides that are talking to DMR, and then I'll be presenting performance information that relates to DMR. But before that is being done, Chair, you'll remember that DG did indicate that at the end of financial or the end of performance information, the CFO, Ms. Yvonne Chedi, will then be presenting the annual financial statements for the former DOE. I shall then revert back to Chairperson so that the CFO could be allowed to present the AFS performance of DOE. Thank you.
I have handed over to the DG. Until the DG comes back to me to say we are done, then he will be conducting who is speaking.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. CFO, can you come in?
Thank you, DG. Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, DG and colleagues, I'll present the annual financial statement for the Department of Energy. On slide one, we will see the first column states the budget the department received. That was 7.1 billion that was received as a final budget from National Treasury. Second column is the actual expenditure which was incurred for the full financial year, which was 6.9 billion. The variance in column number three, it is comparing the budget to the actual expenditure. So for the financial year that just ended, we had a budget of 7.1 billion. We spent 6.9 billion. We had to return to National Treasury 256 million, which equates to 3.6% of the budget. And the main contributor for the underspending was in electrification in energy programs and projects, which was 210.4 million. And I will give you the details as we go along. In this slide, Chairperson, it is now breaking the 7.1 billion by economic classification. It is dividing the budget between compensation of employees. So from the 7.1 billion, 375 million was allocated to compensation of employees. Then we had to have goods and services. We had an allocation of 284 million. And this takes care of all the operational expenditure for the department. Transfer payments took the biggest chunk of the budget, which was 6.5 billion. And these are all transfers to our entities and implementing agents. Then we have a small budget also for capital expenditure. So that allocation makes up our full appropriation of 7.1 billion, which we receive from the fiscus. Then, as I've indicated earlier on, we have spent 6.9 billion, and that's in column number two. But this time, it is by the economic classification. I'm showing you how we spend the money. In the previous slide, I showed you how we spend the money per program. Exactly the same as the previous slide, we are returning 256 million. And if you move on to the next slide, Mr. Mlansi. These are the explanations at a high level of some of the reasons of why we had monies returned to Treasury. Under compensation of employees, we had 19 million that had to be surrendered to Treasury at the end of the financial year. And this was mainly due to the merger. So because of the merger, there was a moratorium placed on vacancies. So in the main, it was due to that merger that we didn't spend all the money. Under goods and services, we had an underspending of 26 million. And there were some projects that contributed to this underspending. In the main, it was the delayed commencement and finalization of the LPG audit in the petroleum and liquid fuel industry and the BBBE monitoring project. The second one was the non-grid monitoring and evaluation and the electrification master plan. Those two projects were also delayed. Then we had the stress testing for the next turnaround strategy, which was also not delivered timely. There was delays in the installation of the solar water heater units. And lastly, there were some issues, some delays in the operating leases for the accommodation at head office. There was a dispute with DPW in this regard, and the resolution is being currently attended to. Next slide, please. Under the economic classification of transfer payments, there was a net underspending of 208 million. This was the biggest underspend in terms of the economic classification. And the main reason for that, there was the integrated national electrification program that was for non-grid households. 199.8 million was the underspending. And this was due to some administrative delays internally due to some procurement matters. There were international membership fees of 4.89 million that was not paid, and then Pioneer Municipal Grant of $3.5 million. This was due to this grant being withheld, but which led to the understanding. If we can move to the next slide, please. Chair and members, this is a summary of the audit outcomes. In the 17-18 financial year and the 18-19 financial year, the Department of Energy did have a qualified audit with findings, and this was due to a dispute with the Auditor General with regards to an irregular expenditure under the Nuclear New Build Program. However, in the 19-20 financial year, management has taken a decision to accept the irregular expenditure that was in dispute, and as a result, the department had an improvement in their audit outcomes, and in this year, we received an unqualified audit with findings. If we can move to the next slide. Chair and members, there were key audit findings. We had missing solar water units, and here there were units that was in storage, but there were certain components that were missing, and the Auditor General was of a view that it should be fruitless and wasteful. The department defended that position, and eventually we reached a compromise and had it classified as contingent asset. Under the Nuclear New Build Program, as I mentioned in the previous slide, in the 17-18 year, 18-19, we had irregular expenditure for the Nuclear New Build Program. A system was bought, and the classification of the AG was that this expenditure should indeed be irregular. The department disputed that, and in the main, in the financial year that just ended, when we decided to accept the irregular expenditure, we were hit again with another finding stating that we couldn't just state it was a prior year adjustment. It was actually has to be disclosed even in the current financial year. And that's purely as per the framework that AG insisted on having it disclosed in this manner. We had a finding on the operating lease, which I've mentioned, which was the dispute with DPW, and the commitments here were understated. Lastly, we also incurred expenditure on that same nuclear new build system that we purchased. We had an additional $8.5 million over and above the previous financial year expenditure. There was also fruitless and wasteful expenditure under solar water units, and that was in the main for the storage. You can move to the next slide, Mr. Nancy. Chairperson, this is just an extract out of the financial statement. It's irregular expenditure, that's note number 20. It's stating in the 18-19 year, we had $264 million that was classified irregular. In the financial year, that's 19-20, it has increased by $8.5 million. It is now sitting at $272 million. And of this $272 million, $271 million belongs to the Nuclear New Build Program. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure, it's note number 27, and this is for the solar water heater unit. In the main, it is for storage of those units which has not been installed. Next slide, please. Chair, this is a summary of the expenditure management, that is payment of creditors within 30 days. We did have a dispute with the AG in terms of their methodology, but however, we have to accept because they have a clinical manner in which they view these things, and we have regressed in terms of the payment period, and there were challenges around the payment of creditors. There are a lot of codependencies. It depends on when the financial management division will receive invoices for payment to enable those payments to happen. So sometimes these invoices are received by end users and project managers by the regional offices. So there is a time lag before it gets to finance. So improvements and other initiatives are being implemented to improve this turnaround time. In the main chairperson, that is under the expenditure management. Could we move to the next slide, please? Under revenue management, the collection of data, this is for the petroleum, the collection of petroleum fees, that is for license and application fees. We have regressed from 431 to 511 days, and there has been certain debtors that has been impaired after a proper analysis was done, and collection efforts in that section for the petroleum license fees are being improved, and we've had initiatives in the past. However, some of them have been further announced to improve the turnaround. And Chairperson, with the merger, we have a little more, we have more staff in that area, which will improve the collection period. And I think I've reached the end. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, CFO. Mr. Mlazi, up to you.
Thank you, DG and Chairperson, honorable members. We'll proceed to part B, which is the former GMR. This slide number 49, I'm going to skip. It talks about the mission, vision, and mandate. And then this one, it talks about the structure of the then GMR. Will be skipped. This one now speaks to the highlights. I'm going to present this one. With regard to the SA mining industry, the industry saw a decline over the past 5 years in financial performance, impacted by a slump in commodity prices and increased cost pressures. The industry also faced job losses, a fall in its exploration budget, and rising input costs. As far as production is concerned in the mining industry, year-on-year mining production decreased by 3.1% in Q4 of 2019. The largest contributors being the PGMs, coal, and iron ore. As far as employment is concerned, the industry suffered a 3.2% job losses from 463,441 in Q3 to 448,492 in Q4 of 2019. There was also a year-on-year employment decrease by 0.8% due to a decline in all commodities. Earnings, despite employment, total earnings increased by 2% from 34.8 billion in Q3 to 35.5 billion in Q4. Year-on-year earnings increased by 7.7% from 32 billion in Q4 to 35 billion in Q4. But there you'll see it was Q4 of 2018 as well as Q4 of 2019. As far as sales are concerned, seasonal adjusted mineral sales increased by 22% in January of 2020. Compared with December of 2019. Now, as far as the health and safety performance is concerned, the key results for 2019-20 financial year are as follows. 17% improvement on overall fatalities, 2% improvement on the number of injuries, 4% reduction in occupational diseases, and 99% of investigations have been completed. The fatalities per commodity during the year under review were 57 and broken down as follows. The gold sector, 24, platinum sector, 8, coal sector, 21, and other mines, 4. Now, as far as the issuing of permits or the granting thereof are concerned, rights and permit granted or issued to historical disadvantaged persons were 176, were issued against a target of 120. You can see, Chair and members, that was an overachievement there. And that consultations and as well as conflict resolutions with communities and other stakeholders in the industry, we had a target of 150 engagement or consultation, but you can see, Chair, 523 were done. As far as social labor plans are concerned, the target of 228 was achieved against a target of 212. And then projects completed under the SLPs, 99 were achieved against a target of 120. Concerning black industrialists, Chair, 10 were achieved against a target of 10, so it was 100%. Legal compliance inspections, 142 achieved against 150. Environmental compliance inspections, 1.3 achieved against 1.2. Mine economic compliance, 343 against a target of 425. This one, Chair, you can see it also speaks to how we were put together as the two different departments. It has been said by the DG. I will pass this one. This talks to policy in relation to the then DMR. There was a draft upstream petroleum development bill of 2019. In this regard, we are saying the draft upstream petroleum resource development bill was gazetted for public comments in December last year, and the department subsequently conducted public consultations with stakeholders who would have sent the submissions. As far as the MPRDA amendment is concerned, the amendments were gazetted for implementation beginning March 2020. We better say the amendment regulations provide for the following improved regulations of social labor plans, meaningful notification and consultation requirements, procedures and requirements for downscaling and retrenchments, Section 52 of the MPRDA as well addresses that, procedures and requirements for surface and land use, Section 53 of the Act, full alignment with the NEMA and the One Environmental Management System, but also including improved appeals regime. We had a mine community resettlement guidelines. These guidelines were gazetted for public comments last year in November. These resettlement guidelines were intended to outline the process and requirements to be complied with by an applicant or a holder of a prospecting right, mining right or mining permit when such application or right will reside in relocation, displacement and resettlement of land owners, including lawful occupiers, host communities, mine communities, holders of information land rights, and holders of communal land rights from their land. Housing and living condition standards for the mining industry. This framework was gazetted during December last year. The objective of these guidelines to ensure that rights holders provide decent, livable, integrated human settlements, but there's also healthcare schemes accompanied by balanced nutrition, water, and related amenities to mine employees. Now, there was a linkage that we had to perform and execute to outcome four. So in relation to outcome four, our linkage was to ensure decent employment through inclusive growth. In this regard, we are saying the SLP will continue to be an instrument that is used to improve the quality of life of communities. The projects that have been identified and implemented have been contributing towards reduction of poverty, inequality, and unemployment. 99 SLPs development project, which you'll see as we proceed with the presentation, Chair and members, in infrastructure development have been conducted, but also we have helped the SMEs in that regard. Education and health have been completed with the created number of jobs. The department continued to capture and share reliable stats on mining and mineral with SARS. The coal sector and chrome sectors reports were developed to strategically guide these sectors into a sustainable future, but also ensure there's technology and beneficiation. On the viability of shale gas exploration in the Karoo, Chair, the department is currently engaged in a process of environmental authorization for a drilling of a 3.5 kilometer deep vertical stratigraphic borehole. The information collected from this borehole will be critical in determining the economic and environmental feasibility of shale gas exploration in South Africa. Our linkage, as well as our performance with regards to outcome 10, which relates to protection and enhancement of our environmental assets and natural resources, the department managed to rehabilitate 3 asbestos mines. We have steel port and street harm in the Limpopo province, as well as Sauli in the Mpumalanga province, with a total of 61 mine shafts which were sealed in Gauteng, Limpopo, and KZN. I will continue with performance information, Chair. There, it just gives you a snapshot in terms of the average performance per branch of the then DMR. You have corporate services with 96.3% cumulatively. You have financial administration with 73%. Mine health and safety, 81%. Mineral regulation, 76%. Mineral policy and promotion, 95%. Now, the overall audited performance attained by the then DMR, you put all the programs together, Chair. It gives 85.8% compared favorably to the achievement status of the previous financial year. This performance shows an improvement in comparison to the performance of the former year. And then the increased performance is attributed to an improved control environment by the management team. The branch attained an overall summary of performance corporate services. This one I'm going to skip because it's summarized and contained in the former slides. On this one, Chair, you can see in terms of the former DMR, the composition as well as the employment equity within the organizational structure. It talks to that. It is saying DDGs in the department have a 60% representation of women. The directorate achieved 50% bursaries for recipients, that is corporate services, and then of which 20 women from the Greater Taung municipalities have enrolled for small-scale mining skills program called Women Diggers, which is aimed at the inclusion in the mainstream economy within the mineral and mining sector. That is responding to the president's visit in the Northwest in 2019 during the Women's Day celebration in Taoum. The department was working on this project in collaboration with the SOEs. As you can see, it was MINTEC and MQA. We have established a gender-based violence subcommittee chair, which is aiming at ending gender-based violence and femicide. Also, the issue that relates to vacancy rate was kept at 6%, which is below the threshold of the DPSA 10%. The department achieved 100% compliance in terms of disclosure. This is us, management, all of us, complying with that requirement to disclose our financial interest every year. Special emphasis on SMS and other members. Finalization of accident inquiries, especially in Palabuga mining, as well as collaboration protocol with NPA in Mpumalanga on the Lily mine, it's been done, but it's also work in progress. Consolidation of both Northern Cape and Kimberley and KwaZulu-Natal regional office. Chair, here I must say that as far as the regional offices are concerned, is that because of the consolidation, we used to have separate regional offices as DOE and DMR. Now, the NMOC, National Macro Organization of Government, which was alluded to earlier by the DG, had a work stream which was facilities and infrastructure that is meant to ensure that we do consolidate the duplication and make sure that we have one regional offices. So there's work in progress already underway, and sooner or later we will be having one single regional office per province in the country. Financial administration, this is a percentage that you have seen there in the summary. So, okay, if you allow, I will skip this one. This one as well. Now, this is inline function, and it speaks to the mine health and safety. So the reduction of fatalities, I've spoken to it earlier, but maybe for the sake that is online function, one must make an emphasis on it to say performance-wise, the branch did very well, 81%, and the following uncontrollable measures were partially achieved and negatively contributed, resulting in the final score of 81. So the reduction target was 20 vis-a-vis 17, and then occupational injuries, target of 20, actual 2, reduction of occupational diseases, that includes TB, the target was 10 vis-a-vis 4, actual, and then adherence to prescribed time frames as in the Act, the target was 100% vis-a-vis 98. In that regard, management remains committed to the goal of zero harm, and will continue with stakeholders' engagement and collaboration to reduce fatalities, injuries, and diseases. The reasons for partial achievement of fatalities is attributed to increase in seismic-induced fatality fall of ground in the mine, and this area continues to be a focal point of the mine health and safety program. It continues. As far as World AIDS Day commemoration is concerned, Chairperson and members, last year in December, the department, in collaboration with the Mine Health and Safety Council, hosted the World AIDS commemoration event in the Northern Cape. This event was well attended by over 1,000 delegates from mine employees and persons from the nearby mine communities. The release of mine health and safety state chair was also done in January this year. The minister released mine health and safety statistics during a media briefing in Pretoria. The number of fatalities in the sector reported last year was the lowest on record, with no disaster recorded for the first time since 2016. There was also a 37% reduction on fatalities from 81 to 51 in 2019. Occupational diseases share decreased by 23% from 4,183 cases in 2017 to 3,458 cases in 2018. Now, you can see there that the reduction was mainly on silicosis, pulmonary TB, and the noise-induced hearing loss with 29%, 24%, and 22% respectively. The issue of addressing violence in the mining sector, in that regard, the department led the launch of the first men's dialogue for the mining sector on no violence against women and children in November last year in Mpumalanga. The prevention of gender-based violence steering committee was also established, Chairperson. The rescue of trapped 1,800 mine workers, as far as that is concerned, in May last year, a successful rescue of 1,800 mine workers was conducted. The workers were trapped at the Sibanye Steelwaters Thembelani shaft in Rustenburg, following damages at shaft infrastructure in April last year.
Yes, if we can try to expedite your pace. I'm looking at the time that we have spent now on the presentation. Thank you. So that we can be able to allow members sufficient time to engage on the presentation.
Okay. On mine regulation, mineral regulation, this is the performance of the branch, 76%. And the following six measures were partially achieved. But Chair, I've already alluded to the ones that speak to the partially achieved and how they are addressed. Perhaps in the interest of time, let me skip this one. And then here is the SLPs. These are the projects, Chair, that have been conducted or executed by the department in the various provinces. You can see Eastern Cape. There's the name of a profit project there, renovation of school with the amount. Limpopo, there was a construction of a multi-purpose center with the budget. Free State, there was a refurbishment of water reticulation plant with that budget. We proceed to KZN, there was a South Coast educational and vegetable farming project which was conducted there through these SLPs with those different figures of the budget. And then you also have the one, same in the KZN, the one that was dealing with the promotion of safety in communities to ensure visibility of CPFs. And there was a mobile library there, mobile library container, CPF container, as well as the ablution facilities. And lastly was the renovation of a community center. As far as Mpumalanga is concerned, Chairperson, the construction of Bonginhlanhla Primary School for 10 million, phase 2 was done. Northern Cape, there's a Bakiti Bricks and Paving project development that was conducted there. And it's not the only one, because you also have the one that talks to the road construction upgrade of main access to roads, as well as the Maramane Laundry project. And then lastly, in the Northern Cape, you can see there, Chair, there was an upgrade of water system at Mabiniki. Northern Cape, still borehole at Land Rest Clinic. Another project in the Northern Cape was contribution towards the construction of the Yenang Splay Clinic. Western Cape, driver's license training project. And the Northwest, construction of a 5.1 kilometers paved road. I'll pass this one, Chair. Just to go back. Okay. This is the Mineral Quality and Promotion Branch. We have published the upstream petroleum bill. Chair, you'll remember that we spoke to this earlier on. There was also a gas fine which we spoken to. And then we also have, through South Africa's interventions and negotiations on the KVS, a Central African Republic is now able to trade its diamond. This we spoken to earlier in the presentation. There's also a rehabilitation program of 61 mine shafts which were sealed, 3 asbestos mine rehabilitated. I'll pass that one. On governance, I'll pass this one because it's more on the support and governance part. I'll skip that. Human resources we spoken to. Then it brings me to part E, which part E, DG, will require that the DG will then request the CFO to come in for annual financial statements. Thank you.
Over to you, CFO.
Thank you, DG. Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, I will present the financial statements for DMR at 31 March 2020. Slide number one is the exact same layout and presentation as we did with BOE. Column number one, that's the final appropriation. For the financial year under review, the department received $2 billion as a budget. They've actually spent $1.988 billion. That equates to 99.3% of the budget which has been spent. So a very small percentage has been surrendered back to Treasury after year-end. And in the main chairperson, when you compare it to the previous financial year, which was 99.44%, which was actually spent, we had a slightly underspend in this financial year. If I can move to the next slide, please. Chair, it's the very same budget of $2 billion, but this time it shows the allocation by economic classification. Compensation of employees had a budget of $663 million. They've spent $650 million, and that was about 98% of the budget. So $12.9 million was returned, and this is the biggest underspending. And it's the same reason as the Department of Energy, because due to the merger, that vacancies were placed on hold until that process was completed. Goods and services had a budget of $286.7 million. They spent almost all of it, a very small underspend. Transport and subsidies, also a small underspend at year end. At the final count and the final reconciliation, $13.9 million was surrendered to National Treasury. Next slide, please. The summary of the audit outcomes in the 17-18 financial year, it was unqualified with findings. In 18-19, the department...
CFO.
Yes.
Just a moment. I see the hand of Honorable Smith. Do you have a question, or is the hand for a question after the presentation?
No, for afterwards, Jay. Thank you very much.
Okay. You can continue, CFO.
Thank you, Chair. In the 18-19 financial year, GMR received an unqualified audit, meaning a clean audit. In the 19-20, we had a slight regression, but we still received an unqualified audit for findings. If we can proceed to the next slide, please. In terms of the audit outcome, just as a summary of the audit findings by the AG, there were some material misstatements, and the contingent liability and provisions. lease commitments, movable assets, and performance information. However, Chairperson and members, all of these have been corrected before the final set was approved by the AG. In the prior year, there was irregular expenditure, but a condemnation was received by National Treasury, from National Treasury. Irregular expenditure of 358,000 was incurred in the 1920 financial year. That's this current financial year that we're presenting. And this was in procurement. The tax status of the supplier, at the time the supplier submitted his bid, the service provider was tax compliant. However, subsequent to that, at the time of awarding the actual bid after the evaluation, the tax status of the service provider changed to non-compliant. Waste fruitless and wasteful expenditure, there were 551,000 recorded. This under travel claims, and this matter is under investigation. And the outcome, and if there are consequence management, that will be implemented accordingly. Next slide, please. This is the expenditure management, and in particular, our response to the 30-day payment. The credit, the payment period has increased. We, in the previous financial year, there was a turnaround time of 6 days. It has now gone to 30 days. And as explained previously as well, the payment, creditor payment period has some codependencies. It's dependent on regional officers sending invoices, service providers sending it directly to project managers and branches instead of directly to finance. So there are those issues. But here again, Chairperson, there was a disagreement with the methodology that the AG used. But in the end, we did accept the framework, and we will improve on the credit of payment turnaround period. Next slide, please. Under revenue management, the collection period has decreased. It's come down from 809 days to 430 days now, which has been improved substantially. However, the amount of departmental revenue that's accrued, that's still outstanding, has gone up from 206 million to 229 million. At the same time, certain data that after the analysis, the department has looked at it, and where there was a need to impair this and write off certain amounts, this process has been done as well. As explained earlier on when I presented the Department of Energy, there are more staff available now in the debtor, in that section that deals with debtors' collection of all revenue.
Yeah.
We hope to see an improvement in this revenue collection going forward. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, DG.
Thank you very much, CFO. Honorable Chair,
Mr. Mlauzi, can you mute your mic?
Mr. Mlauzi,
okay. Thank you very much, DG, for the presentation. I felt I needed to allow it. But I'll now allow Lute, Honorable Ngwenya.
Just remain.
Go to page 12, irregular expenditure. If the department can please explain, you know, in terms of the irregular expenditure, why, if they can give us a little bit more details on this irregular expenditure. Also on page 12, the full of critical positions. My question here is in terms of what, you know, what is the budget, and are there behind and a lot of cuts on budgets have been made and most likely will still be made in the new financial year. So then also on page 12, what was the challenges raised by stakeholders in terms of these two bills? Because it said that, you know, there were some challenges raised by the stakeholders. On page 13, the terms of reference for the renewable energy technology roadmap, why not? Why has it not been included? And then what is the revised target against the previous one? And how did you come to this revised target? So how did you decide that that will be the new target? Then on page 26, only 14 being achieved. So then on page 27, the gas infrastructure master plan, what are these other activities that are referred to in the comments on deviation? Just on a point of clarity, the end state, that's on page 28, sorry, end state, please just explain the term and what are these external factors, again, referred to in the explanation. On page 29, offtake agreement on the grant Inga project, again outside factors, can you explain to us what are these outside factors? Page 33, what caused the delays with the appointment of the panel of contractors? Page 36, the TORs energy technology roadmap, why was there unavailability of funds, was it not budgeted for, and if not, why was it left on the budget being unfunded? And then again, there's a referral to external dependencies. Please explain that. Which external dependencies, and then page 37. Why under delivery of solar geysers? What is the plans to correct the delays in technical feasibility studies at municipal level? And then in terms of the 90 billion, that's on page 45. 90.1 million rand fruitless and wasteful expenditure. You know, do we know who were responsible for this, and then what action has been taken as yet against those responsible? If I didn't see, I saw now on the second part of the presentation this investigation. But I didn't see investigation on this. If we can just get clarity on that, I might have missed that. Then on page 54, there's 523 engagements on you know, conflict with communities, which is far beyond the target of 150. So my question here is, what are the challenges you know, that is facing the industry, because we know that there is a lot of, you know, unhappiness around mining communities, and getting to the bottom of that. This shows obviously that there's a serious problem underlying. In general, DMR, I mean, at surface level, look really good, Chair, you know, in terms of the report that we got. But I've always learned, you know, that if something's too good to be true, it might not be true. So, but I don't want to criticize the department. I must congratulate them on the report and you know, the achievement. It looks good, as I say, at face level. Then. My only concern is with this department, if we look at the second part of the presentation against the first part. The first part, you know, put out both the highlights and the challenges, and DMR only puts out highlights. So my question is, don't the department have any challenges? And then a question that's not related to the presentation, but I think it's important to look at, especially in the coming financial year, is illegal sand mining. That is a serious problem, especially in Limpopo, where I come from. And
Honorable Smith, Honorable Bibi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Compliments of the new season. Thanks, DG, and your team for the presentation. Honorable Chairperson, I wish to make the following comments and observations before I can ask my question. That is, during our meeting with the department last year on the 6th of July 2020, wherein our committee received a briefing on the adjustment budget allocation. And also we made a recommendation to the department that safety of women in mining with regard to gender-based violence must be a high priority. And Chairperson, I'm happy, Honorable Chairperson, to learn from the annual report of the department that the department has indeed heeded our recommendations by establishing a subcommittee on the gender-based violence in the mining sector. And we commend and the department for this important initiative. And also, Chairperson, I also wish to commend the Department of Energy for improved audit outcomes as compared to the previous financial year. Now, there comes my question, Chairperson. The first question will be on the service delivery performance of the Department of Minerals Resources. What are the major challenges that contributed to the department not to achieve 100% of its annual plan targets? During the year under review, it is reported that the department has achieved 85.8%. And my second question, Chairperson, will be why the Department of Mineral Resources and Council for Geoscience have regressed in audit outcomes? And my last question, Chairperson, will be, can the department provide information of the electrification of households which were connected in terms of percentage of how did the provinces benefit from such program? Honorable Chairperson, I'm asking this question because the bulk infrastructure projects have an impact on service delivery, and we need to know the specific number which affected our individual provinces. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Those are my questions.
Thank you very much, Honorable Vivi. Honorable Arnold.
Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to the honorable members and then also to the officials. The Chairperson, yes, there has been an improvement in the performance of the department, but I think the department need to deal with those performance challenges to ensure that they perform in terms of what is required in terms of the targets. Chairperson, the merger of the two departments, I just want to check now, and there is a service delivery impact on the merger, and we can see it, but can we get an indication of staff morale and on any other unresolved challenges with the merger of the two departments? Then, Chairperson, the number of SLPs, development projects, the target was 120, and the department only completed, or there was a completion of 99, which is about 82.5%. So why and what are you doing to address the underperformance in this critical area? Because we know that mining companies, it's a requirement to implement programs to ensure that mineral wealth is used for the development of communities and workers. And I just also need to check now in terms of the requirement of mining companies to submit those plans as part of the license. Has it been done by mining companies? And if we can get a sense of not how many, but maybe we can get that answer another time. But just in terms of compliance with those social labor plans, so that we can track also on that performance. Then, Chairperson, I think here the department needs to...
Your voice has faded, Honorable. Honorable Arnold. Honorable Arnold, I think he has got a network challenge. Can we go to Honorable Klute? When he comes back, I will allow him to finish his contribution. Honorable Klute.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the department for the information, and good morning to all. I'm going to ask maybe three questions. The one is on the APP, and then more the discussion and question on more of policies. But let's start with the APP. Now, I want to look at the targets especially, and we need to remind ourselves that these targets were pre-COVID-19, much of them. So we have seen an improvement, but my question is to the department, to what extent does the department expect the pandemic to affect the targets for the 2020-21 financial year? And what are they doing to ensure that the targets improve, especially in the last few months, or have improved in the last few months? So that's a question on APPs. Then more of a policy questions. Last year, Eskom said that green energy is the future of South Africa. And I understood what the CEO of Eskom was trying to say. And the whole discussion worldwide regarding energy has been renewed, especially in America now with the Keystone Pipeline that's been closed. And we see the effect thereof on especially the economy and especially workers that lost jobs. Now, I don't want to go into that discussion. But we know that this department and this government has a diverse look on our energy philosophy. We say that, and the minister has also noted that we are looking at a diversified level of energy supply in South Africa. However, I do feel that many countries don't really know how to attend to this problem. We've seen it in Germany, where they've gone very green, and then suddenly they decide that they actually saw that they need energy. So the answers we set or the proposals we make aren't that self-evident that they actually will work. So it's a conundrum for many countries, and I think South Africa as well, because on the one hand, we need to protect the status quo. We need to protect that we have energy available and that we need to protect livelihoods as well. But on the other hand, we need to move into a system where we are less dependent on, or more dependent on renewable energy. So my question is, especially in view of international pressure, and we are signatory of the Paris Agreement, how are we navigating through this, what we have now, the status quo, towards a system where we actually have more dependence on renewable energy or clean energy? So that's basically a policy statement. Also, if we have a look at urbanization, we will definitely see, I think, a shift in the need for energy from smaller municipalities, especially to bigger municipalities. And this has big effects for both. So there will be more pressure on bigger municipalities to be able to provide energy for more people. And then also, on the other hand, you'll have less income in smaller municipalities, which means they lose money, actually, and won't be able necessarily to provide energy there. So I'd just like to know how the department is seeing the green energy aspect and then urbanization and how the department sees the shifts of need for energy in the future. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you, Honorable Plute. I don't know whether Honorable Arnold is back. Can I just check? Is Honorable Arnold back in the platform? No,
no, Chair.
He's not.
No, Chair.
Oh, okay. I think he has got a network challenge. As long as the DG has had the few inputs that he has made and the clarity is looking present. Honorable Ngwenya.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, to give me the opportunity to make input in our important first committee meeting of the year 2021. I welcome the presentation of the department on the annual report for 2019-2020 financial year. Honorable Chairperson, I have some important comments and questions to ask, and they are also following. I will start with the comment. I would like to congratulate the department for its effort in electrifying the household where they have existed the set target. We need to acknowledge the good work of the department and compliment it where necessary. Chairperson, I also want to congratulate one of the entity of the department, namely SA Diamond and a precious metal regulator, for obtaining a clean audit outcome during the year 2019-2020 financial year. In terms of the question, Chair, according to the report of the Audit General, the department is struggling to address issues concerning to compliance with legislation as well as ensuring proper financial record keeping. Chair, I want you to know, why is the department struggling to address its financial records? The second question, Chair, I want you to check whether the department has plans in place to respond to the concern and recommendation of the Audit General to improve the audit outcome of both department and its entities. Last question, Chair. The department has included a wasteful expenditure of more than 500,000, which was recorded under the travel claims of an employee of the department. And this wasteful expenditure has been happening since 2012. Why there has been no discipline action taken against that employee? That's my question, Chair. And whether there are any plans in place to prevent this wasteful expenditure from happening again. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ngwenya. Honorable Nana, are you back? Okay. Thank you very much. I just have DG some few questions. I think most of the questions have been covered by other honorable members, and mine will be just some few summarized questions. The first one is on the variance, DG, on the net non-grid of 199 million. The reason for that variance is said is underspending by procurement processes which could not be finalized by year end. My view is that DGU would have what we called forward planning. What was the main challenge here when the procurement process could not be finalized on time? The other one is on irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure on the former DOE, which I think the irregular 8.5 million, fruitless and wasteful 90.118 million. I think if you compare it DG with the irregular expenditure on the other side, on the other side, is not even closer to a million as asked by Honorable Ngwenya. I think here we need to find how are we addressing this challenge, more especially fruitless and wasteful expenditure. When they are combined with the previous years, you'll find that at more than 200 million. I think we should get a sense from the department to say what is it that you are doing to address them. The Department of Energy's payment to creditors is above 30 days. As I saw it, I think it is around 35 days. I think we should get an explanation to say what is the challenge in relation to that. The issue of revenue enhancement, as you put it there, I think it's one area that you also need to look into. And from the explanation by the CFO, is that there was issue of human resource. Now that the departments are combining, there will be improvement. The issue of fatalities in mines is more in gold sector and coal sector. Could it be that those areas, the mine owners are not implementing safety measures, or what could be the challenge? I think the other area that has been raised by Honorable Arnold in terms of social labor plan and jobs creation on the slide 69 on the performance there and the targets. Jobs, the actual number of jobs that were supposed to be created is 1,005, and the actual the target was 1,005, the actual is 295. I think we need an explanation because it's also too very low. Those are my few questions, DG. And if other, because most of the questions you might find that you might not cover all of them. I think you have recorded them. You can also submit DG in writing to us as the committee. Thank you very much. The time is yours now.